Good morning and welcome. I would encourage you and call you to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 7 to 11 as well as some other passages, but that's our main text in this message that I've entitled Abundant Living. Let me ask you, how many of you have a United States of America passport? Well, let me tell you a couple of things about that document. Arrangements have been made beforehand regarding where it can be used. And the bearer is welcomed in all the countries where arrangements have been made. And a passport is available to all American citizens, with a few exceptions. Persons with criminal records, those who have unpaid taxes, or even those who have unpaid child support may be denied a passport. But the most important thing is that the passport must be possessed in hand to be used at all. When I first began to travel internationally, I first traveled to Europe and visited Belgium and the United Kingdom. When I arrived in Belgium, in Brussels, and went to go through their customs, they asked for my passport. Well, I remembered then that I had placed it in my my briefcase that I carried with me when I traveled, and I went to get it out of there and realized that the combination wouldn't work. Apparently, somehow, I had hit the lever on the inside that allows you to change the password, and I changed the password without realizing it. And so when I went to open it up to get my passport out, I couldn't open it. And so after some attempting to try and do it and everything, the security people at the Brussels airport, they carried me away into a special room. And meanwhile, there's a gallery above the area where the baggage and where the customs is. And the one who was my host in Belgium, he was standing up there in the balcony, and he could see everything that's going on with me, and he watched me go off into this room with security. Well, when we were in that room, we were trying to figure out how to get it open. So in the end, what we ended up doing was prying it open and breaking basically destroying my briefcase, breaking the hinge of it, so that I knew about where it was, and with the security people, we pulled it open enough so that I could get my hand in and grab the passport and take it out. And then they x-rayed it and, you know, saw that there wasn't anything suspicious looking in there. But I had to have that thing to be able to hand to them. And the person who was greeting me, who was my host, he thought I'd been arrested for smuggling something into the country. And so, but anyway, it all turned out okay. Listen, Christians possess a passport as well. A passport issued by the kingdom of God to each person in Christ through his salvation. It is a passport which allows the believer to do business physically on earth on behalf of the King, Jesus Christ, as his servant. That passport is prayer. Let's read our text for today, for this message. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? James chapter 5 and verse 16, the second part of it, states that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then James reminded his readers of Elijah's prayer in the next two verses, verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was basically like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And our text reveals three purposes of prayer. Purposes which result in abundant living for believers. First of all, we need to pray to discover God's will. Look at the second part of verse 7. Seek and you will find. Be careful though. You may find the unexpected. God answers according to our need. Remember Nicodemus? Remember his visit with Jesus that night? Over there in John chapter 3, those first 12 verses or so. Look at what it says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus asked him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" You see, Nicodemus went to Jesus looking for some answers. He was trying to understand who Jesus was and how he was able to do the things that he was able to do. But he got something that he didn't expect. Because you see, instead of simply answering his questions that he wanted to have answered, Jesus answered him about his need rather than what he wanted. And Jesus let him know of his need for a new life, a born-again life. And then he let him know about God's love and how God was taking care of that need that he had because of sin. So he gave him God's message in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then on another occasion, Jesus gave also what the way was. The way to have eternal life. The way to have forgiveness of sins is believing in Jesus, but also realizing that that is the only way. There is no other way. It's not all roads lead to God. No, all roads don't lead to God. Most roads lead straight to hell. There's only one way that leads to God. Jesus said it in John 14 in chapter 6, where it reads, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are many ways out there. There are many religions that tell you the way to God, tell you the way to heaven, but they're all wrong. The only way for eternal life and an eternity with God is through Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Just stop for a moment. Think about your needs. What is your, in your mind right now, what is your greatest need? What is the greatest need in your life? What is the greatest need? Because Jesus said, seek in our text and you will find. Well, what is your need? But the question that goes with that is, what is God's will? Many times, what we perceive to be our greatest need is not the need that God is planning to meet in our life, because meeting our needs is going to be according to his will. So be prepared, like Nicodemus, for an unexpected answer. Nicodemus went to Jesus just looking for answers as one teacher to another teacher. But Jesus gave him the answer to the most important need that he had. A new life. An eternal life. So pray to discover God's will. And then second, pray to follow God's direction. Look at the third part, the last part of verse 7. Knock and it will be open to you. Listen, God is not keeping his plan a secret. He wants us to know. He wants to give us direction. The light is available to us for each step that we take. We just need to ask. We need to knock. And he'll answer. That door will be opened. Look at Exodus. Back at Exodus chapter 14. Verses 10 down to about 15. This is after the Israelites had left Egypt, and they're out there at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh had changed his mind and came up behind them with all of his chariots and soldiers, and the Israelites found themselves between the Egyptian army and the sea, and they were beginning to panic. And in verse 10 it says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us so to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And just like us sometimes, the situation gets like that. The saying, between the hard rock and the hard place, well, between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. Life gets like that sometimes. And we begin to panic. We begin to be afraid. But Moses said to them, verse 13, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more. You shall see again no more forever. They're starting to get afraid. And Moses saying, look, don't be afraid of them. You just stand and you wait for God to show his salvation. You wait for God to show his deliverance in this situation. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and said, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Well, they're already afraid of the Egyptian army, and now they're told to go straight into the Red Sea. Listen, God called them in answer to prayer. God called them to trust him. Remember, he said he was going to deliver them from Egypt. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right? Deliverance from the Egyptians. The evidence of things not seen. In faith, God had told them that he was going to deliver them from the Egyptians. In faith, they were to stand and trust him and go forward. And that faith was the evidence that they were going to receive what God had promised them, what they had hoped for. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, it says, for we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Why does one still hope for what he sees? You see, they had to be told to begin to go forward into that sea. And then God had Moses separate that sea. But they had to make the faith move toward the sea before they realized and experienced God's deliverance in response to their faith and in answer to their prayer. Sometimes the door just opens up wide before you. And sometimes you must try the doorknob. And God was telling Moses to tell the people to try the doorknob, to go forward. Listen, when you find an obstacle in the path, you can be tempted to panic. How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do? Well, just look to God. Look for God to remove that obstacle. Trust his promises that he will be faithful to what he says he will do. And then go forward in faith, trusting him. So pray to follow God's direction And then third, pray to receive God's provision. Look at the first part of that verse 7 of our text. Ask, and it will be given to you. Notice for a moment the last three verses, verses 9 through 11 of this same chapter in Matthew 7. Listen, man is evil. Without Jesus Christ, man is evil. And yet, man can still do some good things. Imagine what God is willing to do. If we, as evil, are willing to do good things, imagine what God is willing to do. Look at verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? I mean, if your kid asks for something, you're not going to give him something that's going to hurt him. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father, who's in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? I remember on that same trip to Europe, where I went to Belgium and had the passport in the briefcase ordeal, I went then to London, and the person who was to be my host in London was taken on an emergency trip out of the country to Paris. He would be back the next day, but he wasn't there to greet me. He wasn't there to be my host while I was there. So he passed that responsibility off that first day to his secretary to take care of my needs there. And we got there, and shortly after it was time to go to lunch. And the secretary, his name was Shindy, and so we were going to lunch, and we walk out of the office building, and we start walking down the street. And one of the things that I really was looking forward to going to London was I wanted to go to a local pub to enjoy some pub food, some local British food at the pub. And we walked by one, and we walked a few blocks down the street. We walked past several pubs along the way. And then we turned into the place we were going to lunch, and it turned out to be a Pizza Hut. And I'm thinking, Pizza Hut? Why are we going to Pizza Hut? We're in London. I'm just thinking all this. I would think that we would go to a pub. That's what I was looking forward to. So we went in to Pizza Hut. We ordered our food, went and sat down in the booth, and as we were eating, and talking, I just couldn't hold it back anymore, and I said, Shindy, this is London. You have all these pubs with local food. Why are we at Pizza Hut? I was looking forward to coming and eating at a pub and get some local food. And she said, oh, we all understand that Americans like to eat pizza every day. Well, we like pizza, but we don't eat pizza every day. And so she was embarrassed, and we kind of ended up laughing about it. And the next day, well, actually when my host was back as well, we all went out to lunch at one of the pubs, and it was a great time. I enjoyed it. But I had to ask. I was taken to what they thought I wanted. But I needed to ask. And sometimes God lets us be in the place where we need to ask. You remember the widow seeking justice in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, beginning at verse 1. And then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.'" And then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Keep asking. Keep trusting. But your motive must be right. What are your motives in prayer? When you ask God for something, what are your motives? Will God be glorified if he answers you according to what you request? James chapter 4, the second part of verse 2 and verse 3 says, "You do not have because you don't ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." What James is saying is, our motives often are selfish and are not seeking God's will. And God doesn't give us what we want because he wouldn't be glorified by it. We need to evaluate the motives of our prayers, what we're asking for, and why we're asking for it. Listen, you get to know people by spending time with them. I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, spend time with God. Get to know him. And as you get to know him, you will get to know his will. Because you see, prayer brings you into his presence. And arrangements were made beforehand by Jesus Christ for us as Christians. And because of what Jesus did, believers are welcomed into the throne room of heaven. Every Christian may use this access to God. In fact, we're encouraged to do so. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God," the throne of grace, "that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Seek God's will. Knock for God's direction. Ask for God's provision. D.L. Moody said this. He said, "The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man or woman who is fully consecrated to him." Prayer is the path to the abundant life because God will answer. God will give you direction. God will provide. And those prayers answered will result in abundant living. Are you enjoying that abundant life in Christ? Are you connected to the throne of grace? Going there for mercy and seeking grace in your time of need? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this lesson in prayer, that we do have access and we can serve you because we have access, and that access has been provided beforehand by Jesus Christ, and that prayer becomes the passport that we hold to have access to the throne room of God. And we're accepted because those arrangements were made beforehand on the cross of Calvary. Father, thank you. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.